want to speak about a topic that I think is inherent in this coming week's Sedra that on the surface may seem a little morbid, but really it's not. And that is that there is a tremendous connection between death and marriage. Some people think that the connection is very simple. And some marriages it is. Let me give you some examples. Okay. This Sedra, first of all, speaks about the death of Avram and Sarah, and it's called Chayi Sarah. It's a preliminary question. And we find the same thing in Vayichi. Vayichi Yaakov, the Sedra is called Vayichi, and it deals with the death of Yaakov. Interesting that the Sedras that deal with the death of the Avos are called Chayim, life. Now there are, like I said, a lot of connections between death and marriage. And first of all, this Sedra. The Sedra deals with two topics, the death of Sarah and the marriage of Yitzchak. They go together. And not only that, but the it also has the death of Avram, and right before that, his remarriage to Keturah, to Hagar. So here's two cases where there is a connection between death and then marriage, marriage and then death. Even more than that, the Gemara learns the method, one of the methods of how to affect a marriage from the burial of Sarah. How so? The Torah says, "Ki yikach ishisha." If a man will take a woman, it doesn't specify exactly how that taking is supposed to be. Maybe he knocks her over the head and drags her by the hair into a cave. How does he take a woman? So there is 13 rules how God wants us to learn things from the Torah. When He wrote the Torah, when He created the Torah, He created it according to these 13 rules. One of the rules is called the Gzeirah Shavah. Gzeirah Shavah means the Torah uses a word in one place and a similar word in another place to tell me there's a connection between the two. So here is how we know what marriage is. The Torah says, Ki yikach ish isha, if a man will take a woman. In this week's Sedra, it says, Kesef hasadeh kach mimeni, take the money from me. Avram said when he was buying the burial plot for Sarah. He told Ephron, take the money. So we see the word kach has to do with money, taking money. And here, taking a woman. So the way to affect the marriage is giving the woman something of value in front of witnesses and saying, with this you are married to me. And that's how a marriage, one of the ways a marriage is affected. But we learn that halacha from the burial of Sarah. It's interesting that we learn the law of marriage from the burial of Sarah. Again, a connection between death and marriage. Some men think that therefore they have a mitzvah to continually bury their wives day by day, because we learn marriage from burial, but that's not the lesson. Okay. Another connection between death and marriage is that the chosan wears a kittel, which is very similar to tachrichim, to shrouds at the wedding. Right? And it's to remind him of the day of death. Partially, which we'll get to why that's necessary. So here's another connection between death and marriage. You wear shrouds at the marriage. Next, there is a special bracha in benching that is said during the 7 days of mourning. We don't say, we don't say that bracha anymore, whatever the reason is. But there used to be a bracha that was added, what's it called? Birchas Avelin. That was added into the benching when you benched in the home of a mourner. There's a similar bracha that's added, sheva brachas, when you bench in the home of a married, newly married couple. Similar thing. And even more than that, there's 7 days of mourning and 7 days of sheva brachas. And lastly, there's a Gemara that says that the Pasuk, I don't remember which Tehillim it is, but there's a Tehillim that speaks about, this is what every chassid will daven le'es mitzo at the time of finding. And the Gemara interprets this sentence in two ways. One, the time of finding is when you find a wife. And the other is the time of finding is when you die. Similar idea that the same sentence can refer to marriage, can refer to death. So all these point not just to a incidental connection, but it seems like there is a tremendous connection between birth, between marriage and death. And now, to put the cherry on the top of all of this, and then we'll explain it, is the following Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachos that I think the Chachamim were at a wedding, and they were really rejoicing. And they asked Rav Hamanuna Rabba to sing a song in honor of the Chosan and Kala. So seemingly he wanted to somber the things a little bit and put a little buffer on the, you know, unlimited rejoicing that was going on. So he said the following. So, okay, I got a song to sing. Vai londa misna, vei to us that we're going to die. Vai londa misna, said twice. Right, that was the song. So they said, okay, what's the chorus? He said, the chorus is, where is our baggage that we're going to take along for us, what's it called, in the, to the next world? That's the chorus you should sing. I'm singing the song. The song is, woe to us that we're going to die. Woe to us that we're going to die. It's a great song to sing by a chasana. And you sing the chorus, where's the baggage that we're going to take along, Torah and mitzvahs that we're taking along on our journey after we die. Okay. From all of this, right, it's very clear that this connection between death and marriage is not incidental. There are too many examples. So what does it mean? I sort of think that the idea is the following. The Gemara says, Osur l'male schok piv ba'olam hazeh. A person is not allowed to rejoice fully in this world. Total rejoicing is not for this world. And the Pasuk says, which you're all familiar with, Oz yamale schok pinu. Right, from Shir HaMaalos. Oz, then, in the next world, that's when our mouths will be filled with joy. But in this world, you don't fill your mouth with joy. There's always something missing. Why? Because this world, joy, is a symbol of shlemus, of perfection. That's total simcha. Total simcha is when everything's perfect. Everything's in harmony. This world is not a world of perfection. This is the world that's imperfect, where a person has to perfect himself and reach perfection because of what you do in this world and the next world. So if you feel fulfilled and perfect and totally happy and in harmony in this world, you're defeating the purpose of what this world is all about. So therefore, one can never feel completely perfect and fulfilled in this world. Okay? Only in the next world. That's why at a wedding, when we bench, we say, Shahasimcha bima'ono. That simcha is in God's realm. Meaning, we're happy in this world. And we'll see, there is an idea of happiness. But real simcha, total simcha is only up there. Don't get carried away. Wedding is probably the biggest simcha that we have. But the real simcha is in the next world, not this world. Okay. Now, the purpose of in this world, therefore, is that a person should try to attain as much perfection as he has in this world, which will create the perfection for the next world. And therefore, perfection in this world can never be achieved by one person in one generation. But the perfection of this world needs a lot of people to work together. And even one individual, male or female, can never bring perfection to this world because they can't reproduce by themselves. So they can't. It's ended with them. So in order to really bring perfection, you need at least a partner. And it's not going to happen in one generation. And that's why people leave this world and there's children and you have to have children. Because if you want to have any kind of perfection in this world, it spans more than one generation. So you have to bring the generations. So therefore, the idea on the one hand, at a wedding where it seems to be this is perfection. Two people are joining together to become more perfect. They are creating a future where they'll have children, which all of this smacks of perfection. We want to remind a person, all of this is not real perfection. This is just reaching towards perfection, and the real perfection is in the next world. So at the time that we have this joy, we remember death. Because remember, the people in this world can never reach full perfection. The main thing is what happens after you leave this world. So we want to remind people, don't get carried away with this world as a place of perfection, because all the perfection is just a preparation for the real perfection after a person leaves this world. That's one reason, therefore, we mention death and we remind the chosni. Where's tachrichani? Where's the shrouds? Going to the chuppah to know, don't get carried away. That's why they sang that song, right? But it's another thing. Just the opposite also. It's another side to the coin. It's death that really gives importance to marriage. Because if people would never die, they wouldn't have to have children. And if people were able to be perfect in this world, right, and weren't limited, and then they wouldn't have to have a mate. They wouldn't have to have a partner. It's only because we are mortal and imperfect that marriage is such a simcha, because it accomplishes so much. Because if you weren't mortal and you weren't imperfect, you wouldn't need marriage. So the need for marriage is amplified by the understanding that we're mortal and that we're imperfect. So remembering the day of death and remembering our imperfection makes the simcha at the wedding even greater. But it puts it into perspective. So it's two sides. One, it buffers and puts a buffer on the simcha. Don't get carried away and think that perfection is this world. Remember that person's going to die. At the same time, it makes the simcha more meaningful, right? Because without death and without limitations, we wouldn't need to get married altogether. Marriage is necessitated by death and by being limited. So therefore, it on the one hand limits the simcha, puts a buffer on it, at the same time makes it more meaningful in the context that it really exists. So both things go together. And therefore, the whole idea of marriage we learn from burial. What's burial? Burial is a person dies, so now you think that's all over. It's not. You bury his body, which means you plant it like a seed. And it decomposes, and then it grows again. It's a process. It's a process of growth. The whole purpose of this world is not that this world is everything, and therefore if a person dies, that's the end. No, it's the beginning of a new growth that was facilitated. This world created the seed. By doing mitzvahs and learning Torah and being a good person or whatever and having midos tovos, that creates the seed that when you finally leave this world and you bury the body, that seed will now sprout again and have an eternal olam haba, tchias hameisim. That's the idea. So the whole concept of real perfection, which includes this world and the next world and the process of death, right, is what is marriage is all about. The quest for that perfection in this world, to reach as much as you can and to span it over generations. But the main thing is what the person leaves this world, not what he does in this world, because what he does in this world is very limited and never can be perfect as an individual. So therefore we learn marriage from burial, because they go together, right? The idea of burial brings home this concept of this world creating the seed, which then will decompose and sprout again in eternity, and the way to create that seed is through marriage. That helps to make the perfection between two people and the perfection in this world towards next generation and generations to come. So first you have to perfect this world as much as you can in order to create the seed that will then have eternal perfection. They go together. So you learn one from the other. Marriage from burial. And also, it's the idea, we learn it from kever avos, from the burial place of our avos, who set the foundation for this worldly perfection that leads to eternal next worldly perfection. And that's why we wear the shrouds, the kittel. Because what's the idea? The kittel clothes the body in white purity. But whatever happens to the body is happening to the soul. That's what the idea of shrouds are. As you cover the body, that's how the soul is being covered spiritually. So the idea is the marriage creates the physical foundation for ultimate spiritual perfection. And therefore, at a wedding, where we are involved in creating that physical perfection, which will lead to spiritual perfection, we put on a shroud, which represents both ideas. And that's why the Ksav HaKabbalah says, it says that Sarah's life was 100 years, 20 years, 7 years, and then it says again, Shnei Chayi Sarah. He says, because we're different than angels. Angels only have spiritual. We're different than animals. Animals only have physical. But a human being has two lives. He has his spiritual life and physical life. And therefore, it's the physical life, the Tzvi Yisrael, I don't know who exactly that is, but he says this idea. He says that it's the physical life, the physical limited life, which basically is translated for a tzaddik into eternal life. Like we said, like the seed. Here you create the seed, and that seed then sprouts eternally. So, therefore it says, Shnei Chayei Sarah, it's like two lives. Every human being has two lives, their physical life and their spiritual life, but they're really dependent one on the other. And that's why it says that Yitzchak Avinu was comforted from the death of his mother by marrying his wife, because it put her death into perspective. Death is not an end. It is taking whatever you got in perfection in this world, semi-perfection, and transferring it into eternal, real perfection. And you see that from the fact that death and marriage go together, because marriage is also the idea of an extension, what's for the future. And therefore, death, put in the perspective of marriage, marriage gives death a more positive idea. So by marrying Rivka, Yitzchak put his mother's death into perspective and was comforted. And that's why when Sarah died, it wasn't just that her physical body died, but the spiritual aspects that she created went with her to a certain degree from this world. The candle that was burning from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, the cloud over the tent, and the bracha in the bread. It went away. But when Yitzchak married Rivka, it all came back. So he saw that it's all a continuation. There's no end. Death is not an end. It's the beginning of a spiritual process that the physical process starts. And just like marriage continues on, that physical process for future generations, that's what death does vis-a-vis the spiritual world. And that's why when we comfort mourners, we say God should comfort you amongst the other mourners of Zion and Jerusalem. Because it's clear over there that it's not an end. It's a process. Gullus is a process that will hopefully get us back to have a Beis HaMikdash. But we need that process, right, of death and destruction to be able to come back to a rebirth. So therefore, we tell the person, be comforted that the death isn't finality. The death is part of a process that eventually will lead to eternal perfection. And therefore, the parshios that are related to the death of the great tzaddikim, Avram, Sarah, Yaakov, is called Vayechi, because that's what really life is all about. Life is a process that starts with physical life in this world, which is limited, which then a person passes from this world, and like a seed, decomposes physically, but sprouts again spiritually. That's the process. So that is why it's really, that's why it says tzaddikim b'misasim. Tzaddikim, even after they're dead, are called alive, because that's all part of the same process of life. Whereas Rishayim, even though they're alive, are dead, because they don't even start the process. So even their life is considered death. And that's why it says that Sarah Imenu died from the news of the Akedah. I have a different spin on that. Most learn that Sarah died because when she heard that Yitzchak was, the Satan came to her, and he said, you hear what happened to your son? You know where he went? She said, yeah, he went with my husband. They went to learn somewhere or whatever. He said, what are you talking about? He took him to slaughter him. And he was in the middle of telling her the story, and she assumed that he was slaughtered, and she died. She died of the shock of Yitzchak being slaughtered. But it doesn't say that. It says The Sultan told her the story, and when she heard that he almost was slaughtered, she gave out a cry like a shofar, and her neshama fled from her. That has me believe that it was a different thing completely. She knew he didn't die. She knew that he reached the highest level and almost was able to be slaughtered. And then she said, I've reached my purpose in this world. I brought Yitzchak. There's nothing more for me to live for. And parcha neshama, so her neshama fled her body because she was ready now for the next stage. She didn't need to be in this world anymore. It wasn't a negative thing. It was a positive thing. And that's why it says that Avram Avinu came to eulogize Sarah from two places. Vayavo Avram. Where did he come from? From burying Terach, who had just died, and from the Akedah. Two things together. Burying Terach was putting an end to his past. That past is done. Everything now is a bright future, which represented by the Akedah. The Akedah created. So Avram Avinu came to put Sarah's death into perspective. It's the end of an era, burying Terach. It's the beginning of a new era, which is represented by the Akedah. And therefore, when it comes to remembering death, and vis-a-vis how this world and the next world are related, the Gemara relates the following. A person should always agitate his Yetzer HaTov over his Yetzer Hara. And that way he won't sin. He puts his Yetzer HaTov over, what's it called, his Yetzer Hara. He rules his Yetzer HaTov over his Yetzer Hara. Right? But he's constantly agitated, constantly, the word is roges, yargiz adam. Roges means you're not settled. You're constantly fighting, moving. Fight your Yetzer HaTov against your Yetzer Hara. If you're successful, and that stops you from sinning, fine. If not, it says learn Torah. Torah helps to make the Yetzer Hara, you can channel things to use them for the good through Torah. It says I created the Yetzer Hara, but I created the Torah as a spice. It spices up the Yetzer Hara. You channel it into a good thing. It doesn't destroy it. It makes you be able to use your baser desires in a positive way. Okay? That's how you're really supposed to use the Yetzer Hara. Serve God with both your Yetzer Hara and Yetzer HaTov. For instance, the Yetzer Hara wants you to feel gaiva, covet, right? You want to feel, but if you channel that into feeling covet because of mitzvahs or whatever, not your own personal covet, but the covet of that I'm a servant of the Rabban Shalom, that's fine. It's good to feel, right, self-esteem like that. So you can channel those feelings. You have an appetite, or you want to eat. So you channel it into eating things, to make a bracha, to bench, to be strong to serve Hashem. So that same appetite that can be bad can also be used for the good. You have an appetite for sexual things. You can channel it into marriage, or you can channel it into things that are prohibited. So that is learning Torah. And then, if that doesn't work, then it says read Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim, accepting the yoke of heaven. If all that doesn't work, then remember the day of death. Remember, you're only in this world temporarily, and you're eventually going to die, and it's not kedai to do things that after your death you're going to suffer for. That's the Gemara. There's another Medrash that compares this world to the next world in three ways, and there's a fourth way that's a mission in Pirkei Avos. The mission in Pirkei Avos says this world is like a preparation room to a castle. Prepare yourself in the preparation room, you'll be able to go to the castle. The Medrash says three other analogies. It's like Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. In this world you prepare, and in the next world you eat what you prepared. The next analogy is like the dry land and the sea. On the dry land, you supply your boat that when you get to the sea, you'll have what to eat. But if you don't supply your boat on the dry land and you set sail with an empty boat, there's no place in the middle of the sea to buy food. You're stuck. And the sea then is a very dangerous place to be without any supplies. And the fourth example, analogy, is this world is like the city and the next world is like the desert. If you prepare yourself in the city, you have to survive in the desert. But if not, forget it. Now I want to say that those four things relate to these four things we just said. One idea of recognizing this world as what it really is this world is a constant battle. It's constant trials and tribulations. That's what this world is supposed to be. You're not supposed to take it easy in this world. Every time you turn around, you're being beset with another battle. The Yetzer Hara over the Yetzer HaTov, Yetzer HaTov over the Yetzer Hara. You're constantly agitated in this world. This is not a world to feel comfortable, fulfilled, happy, completely. You can be happy, but you should realize you always have to be dynamic, always agitated, always moving. Okay, and that is compared to the fact that this world is a preparation room for the world to come. If you don't prepare, you're not going to get into the castle. So you're always involved in preparation. This is the place to prepare. Work. Because if you take it easy and you don't prepare, you'll never get into the castle. So it's constant preparation. Those two things go together. Second thing. This world is like Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. That's like learning Torah. Okay, now you're in the world already. Use it properly. Know how to take everything and use it in a way that will be a preparation for the world to come. Know how to use everything. The Torah teaches you how to use this world in a proper way, in a positive way, that you will prepare for the world to come. And that is like Erev Shabbos and Shabbos learning Torah. Learning Torah tells you what to prepare for Shabbos. It's a cookbook. How do you make the recipe so you'll have what to eat? How do you make cholent? How do you make kugel? How do you make a nice roast chicken or whatever? That's the Torah. That's like Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. Okay, but there's more to this world than just preparing the right things. You have to stay away from the wrong things. So the next thing is read Kriya Shema and accept the yoke of God's kingdom and be ready to sacrifice anything in this world that will be in conflict with your world to come, even your life. If you're going to have to serve idolatry or die, die. Because you're going to give up your Olam Haba. So stay away from all those things in this world that you have to accept the yoke of God's kingdom, to stay away from them and sacrifice everything in this world if doing it will conflict with the world to come. So the first one teaches me the Torah of using the world properly. This one is not using the things in the world that are improper. There's the Aseh Tov and there's the Sur Meira. There's the do good and there's stay away from evil. And that is like setting sail with an empty boat. It's dangerous. You better get the life preservers and all the things you need to make that the world to come won't be a danger to you. Because if you do the wrong things in this world, the world to come is going to be Gehenna. You're going to end up being like a person in the middle of the sea without a life preserver. Right? You're going to drown in the next world. So therefore, prepare your life preservers, your lifeboats, your food, that you'll be able to survive in the next world and not end up, the next world's become a negative place for you because you do negative things here. And lastly, remember the day of death. Remember that this world is very limited and in time and in what you can accomplish or whatever. And really, this world ends like a desert. But the desert is a different world, different place, and you're not going to be able to have what you have in this world there. All of Gashmias is not going to be there. So there is going to have to, the eternity is a desert kind of situation. The Torah was given in the desert. The desert's more of a place to be involved in spiritual things, in meditation or whatever, and not, there's no physical things in the desert. So a time's going to come where you're going to have to leave all these physical things and go into that desert, where the desert was a very positive thing. Moshe Rabbeinu went into the desert and contemplated God, got the Torah. We got the Torah in the desert because it's set aside from all the physical world. So it represents the fact that eventually everything you have in this world is not going to exist. The next world compared to this world is like a desert because it doesn't have all the physical things, but it has the ability to get close to God. So if you understand that everything you can have contact with and understand in this world is limited and it's going to come to an end, then you'll prepare also for the next world. So the idea of the desert and the Yishuv is similar to the idea of remembering the day of death. Someday it's going to come where the physical life is going to end. That's the Yishuv. That's the city. And you're going to go into a desert where the physical things don't exist. But there are a lot of spiritual things. Again, we got the Torah in the desert. Moshe Rabbeinu contemplated and became Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert. So that's the fourth thing. So those are the analogies of this world to the next and the methods to use to remember how to use this world properly. And that's why at the Chasana they sang, they that were going to die. because it gave meaning to the wedding, because now you really need a wedding. And it also put it into perspective, this isn't real perfection, this is just creating the seed that eventually will lead to eternal perfection. And that's what he said. Remember, we're going to die. That will buffer the simcha now and put it into the context of the of eternity. And also, now you have to know, so what do? Get baggage. Get what you can take and create from this imperfect world the perfection of the world to come. And that's why there is this tremendous connection between death and marriage. Right? They have a tremendous connection between them, and that's why they both revolve around the number seven. Seven is perfection. 7 days of creation. There's the 7 days of creation, perfection of this world, and then there's the 7 days that God meant for the world to come, the Shabbos. So the 7 days of perfection represent to the 7 days of mourning, as well as the 7 days of chasana. One represents the perfection that a person can reach in this world to create the perfection in the next world, and the next one is the perfection a person has in the next world. Both are seven. That's why the kala goes seven times around. In any case, I want to end with a pun, which I can't hold myself back from. I don't know if any of you will appreciate it. Maybe the ones who are a little bit closer to my age will appreciate it. The younger ones, I'm here, I'm not sure. In fact, I'll explain it to you. There was a song, a popular song, that said, "Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage." Remember that song? Anyway, okay. I have a parody on that based on this drasha. If I had to name this drasha, I would name it, "Death and marriage go together like a hearse and carriage." In any case, I got that off my chest. So I think that explains very well why these connections between death and marriage abound, not only in this sedra, but in other areas too. Have a good Shabbos. Yes.
Why the seven kings talked about body being decomposing?
Right.
So that
it's like a seed. So the Gemara says that the bodies of tzaddikim don't decompose.
That's right.
But the Gemara asked that question, and the Gemara says that 1 second before the resurrection of the dead, their bodies will decompose also. But it's a schus for them that they don't have to have that decomposition till the last minute.